WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host on this Monday, September 26, 2016. Yeah, my name is Al Martin, folks, and we've got a great show in store for all of you out there. It's one that is going to be a bit hard to do because, of course, with the losses to the Detroit Lions as well as the Michigan State football team, we experienced not one, not two, but three deaths that have rocked the sporting world, including one that hits very close to home, a former Michigan State football player from not too long ago, Mr. Mylon Hicks. We will talk about that death in just a second. Also, folks, again, we will recap less important matters with the Michigan State football team as it was just an ugly loss at Spartan Stadium on Saturday, folks. Again, as I mentioned, the Detroit Lions fell to the Green Bay Packers on the road. The Michigan football team, they stay undefeated. We'll chat about them as well. And on the back end of the show, we will have an overall look out of the landscape in college football, and we will have weekend winners for you as well. So it's going to be a show filled with discussion. Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports, or even you can tweet us at WKAR_sports or my official Twitter handle of @ Al Martin, WKAR. Without further ado, you know how we start this show. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Well, folks, you can be as sad as you want with the Michigan State football team or the Detroit Lions or even the Detroit Tigers, who also did not have a great weekend. But at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. It's just a game. Sunday gave sports fans and society as a whole a glimpse of real sadness. Sunday morning, afternoon, and evening, the sports world suffered multiple losses. To start the day, the baseball world lost not only a transcendent talent, but one of its most passionate players in Jose Fernandez. Miami Marlins, they made a statement explaining what it's like to lose a player of the magnitude of Fernandez. He was injured in a boating accident in the Florida area. Also, midday, it was revealed that Spartan Nation lost another member in Mylon Hicks. Hicks was murdered in a Calgary nightclub in Canada on Sunday morning. Coach Mark D'Antonio had this to say about Hicks, quote, "He went through everything with a great deal of excitement. A very competitive person and just enjoyed playing football and being around our program. You know, he was a great student as well. Many very personal talks with him in and out of those 5 years being here. You know, he went 100 miles an hour," end quote. And to conclude that riveting day, the king of golf, Arnold Palmer, he passed away at the age of 87. Folks, throughout this entire hour, we will be taking your calls as well as bringing you our very own thoughts on those three deaths that have rocked the sporting world, and one in particular, in Mylon Hicks, that hits too close to home. Call in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Moving on now to less important matters. Following the rout that Michigan State football suffered at home to Wisconsin, the Spartans took a nosedive in the wrong direction in both polls. MSU dropped 9 spots in the AP poll to 17, and 8 in the coaches' poll, dropping down to 16th overall. Michigan remained stagnant in the polls following a convincing home victory against the Penn State Nittany Lions. Michigan sits at number 4 in both the in the AP poll with one first place vote, and they remain fifth in the coaches poll. Former Michigan Wolverine All-American, 11th overall pick by the Tennessee Titans, Taylor Lewan, who was picked by the Titans in the 2014 NFL Draft. He cost his team the game in Sunday's contest against the Oakland Raiders after Titans receiver Tajay Sharp caught a ball at the 3-yard line in a one-score game. The offensive lineman Lewan uncontrollably launched himself into the pile like a torpedo, going head-on with a few Raiders and Titan players. This earned Tennessee a 15-yard penalty, and in turn, they did not score. Not only an incredibly dangerous boneheaded play in a sport plagued by concussions, but it left many frustrated, including ESPN's own and former Ohio State Buckeye Kirk Herbstreit. Herbie didn't hold his feelings back at all and tweeted at Lewan a brutal series of hashtags. Quote, "You're an absolute fraud, bro." And he, of course, added Taylor Lewan on his official Twitter handle. Then he included these hashtags. Quote, hashtag fake tough guy. Hashtag loafer. Hashtag try to hustle. Hashtag I see you walking off the field. Hashtag fraud. Hashtag pathetic. Yeah, talk about shots fired, right? All right, after leading two sets to none, MSU suffered a devastating loss to number one ranked Nebraska on Saturday in volleyball. Now, the number 20th ranked Spartans are now 12-2 on the season, which is the best start that the team has had since 2013, which resulted in a trip to the Sweet 16. The two previous seasons, the team had finished 19-14, but sights are set high this year, and Coach Kathy George says it is this team's experience and physicality that sets them apart. The team is set to take on Penn State this Friday. Spartan Men's Golf is in Ohio right now, playing in the two-day event at Coldstream Country Club, that being the Bearcat Invitational today. The 10-team tourney has six players from each school playing, taking the top four scores for each round. The Spartans will play three holes on the 7,150-yard course with 36 continuous holes today, followed by the final 18 tomorrow. Ohio State is the only Big Ten opponent in the field alongside the Spartans. In typical Detroit Lions fashion, they don't quite make the comeback. After being down 31-10 at halftime, the Lions came out and started the third quarter with a fourth and goal rollout to Anquan Boldin for a touchdown. Now, the defense was able to hold the Packers to a field goal, and Detroit went into the fourth, driving into Packers territory, down by 17. After two offensive line penalties, the Lions settled for a field goal, cutting the Packers' lead to 14. After forcing the Packers to punt, the Lions got the ball back with just over 4 minutes left to play, and Matthew Stafford connected on a deep pass to Marvin Jones Jr. How good has he been, right? For another long touchdown, giving Jones 205 total yards on the day. Packers up by 7 with 3 minutes left to play. Aaron Rodgers scrambles for a first down on 3rd and 8, and then they convert one more first down to hold on for the 34-27 win. The Detroit Tigers, back-to-back devastating losses for the Tigers, as on Saturday, K-Rod, who's been fairly dominant, allowed 5 runs in the 9th to blow the game against Kansas City. Then on Sunday, despite scoring 9 runs, the Tigers pitching allowed 12 to the Royals. They went on to lose that matchup as well. The Tigers are so close to the wild card, they can taste it. But then they have the season-crushing games, folks. We'll see if they can make their playoff hopes come true. All right, folks, that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, you can call in by picking up that phone and dialing 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also join us via Facebook at facebook.com/currentsports or tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR_sports. Let's start the show.
What do you mean to me? Here in my heart, I believe your love is all.
lost family today. We lost family. So I don't know. Everybody doesn't react the same, but we lost family today. We're hurt. We're shaking a little bit. But it's good to have family. And you know, you lose family, but you have family. So we'll hold together. We're lifting each other. We're talking. We're leaning on each other right now. I'm a little bro. You know, hanging out, funny, busting jokes all the time, clowning. We go to the movies or we go out to eat. You know, my little practice roster brothers. I make sure I take care of them once a week. So you want to be sad for the loss. But one thing we will do is celebrate his life. We will celebrate. If anything out of this, we should take the positives and the good from him, or the experience of knowing Marlon Hicks, and we should ingrain that in us going forward.
We just had our team meeting. We had Rod Zarotsky, our team chaplain, there to talk to the team, to help them through this. Some of the players just had a meeting with the Calgary Police FAST program, which is the Victim Assistance Support Team, and doing everything we can to help the healing process.
Man, I'm just saddened, thinking about his family and the news and the phone call they got. I know everybody here, and especially guys in that locker room, gone through tragedies before, you know, with families or friends or whatnot, you know, being lost, and just the way it happened, as far as, you know, a guy being taken at, you know, 23 years old and hasn't got to experience, you know, what he could have in life. I truly just feel for his family.
Yes, ladies and gents, boys and girls, that is how we start this afternoon's Current Sports. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Al Martin. And before we dive into, of course, the weekend that was concerning the Michigan State football team, as well as U of M on the gridiron, the Detroit Lions, and a little bit of Tigers talk as well, we want to acknowledge the news concerning former Michigan State football player Marlon Hicks, who passed away this weekend, victim of a nightclub shooting in Canada. And it's news that many people are still trying to digest and process, because Marlon Hicks is a name that many knew and loved here at the Michigan State community. I actually, when it concerns Hicks, Marlon Hicks, he came to Michigan State in 2010. From 2010 to 2014, he was a part of the Michigan State football program. And I graduated in May of 2012. So Marlon was a student when I was a student here on the campus of Michigan State University. And multiple times I've run into Marlon at different social gatherings, and I'm really close with individuals who were really close to him. And I've seen so many tributes on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter as well. Many people just in shock and are just really a bit numb to the news concerning Hicks. You know, I read a quote from D'Antonio in our headliners, and I can only imagine what Coach D and the football team is going through after hearing this news, because this is the second Spartan football player to pass away this year. Of course, it's been well noted that Mike Sadler, former Spartan punter, passed away in a car accident this past summer, and he was actually inducted into the Hall of Fame, the MSU Hall of Fame, last week. So now the program loses two names, two former players, two family members in the same year. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, folks. And, it's so crazy, though, because, you know, you hear from those that really knew these two and Sadler and Hicks, and for both of them, you hear just everybody talk about how great these individuals were. And what you just heard in that snippet was actually comments from the Calgary Stampeders, teammates of Mylon Hicks. Of course, Mylon Hicks was a part of the Canadian Football League and was playing with the Stampeders. And you heard from Joshua Bell, who was a defensive back with the Stampeders. Also, you heard the voice of John Huffnagel, who was the president of that club, as well as the quarterback, Bo Levi Mitchell. And, you know, they made comments on what the loss means to the program, as well as them personally. But you hear about all of these, you know, we heard the same thing when it came to Mike Sadler. We hear about how great of a person they were, and you start to hear all of the tributes and memories from their respective lives, and not a negative word, not a negative word. I don't know what occurred that night at that nightclub in Canada, but it just puts in perspective just how precious life truly is. You can be here today and gone tomorrow, folks. Not only was that news heavy for the Spartan community in particular, but two big names in the entire spectrum of sports were also lost. That being Jose Fernandez, pitcher of the Miami Marlins, who was involved in a boating accident. And, you know, this is a young man, much like Hicks, who had his entire future laid out ahead of him, a positive future at that, and a promising young baseball player. You know, we're talking about a 2011 first-round pick taken 14th overall by the Marlins. He was 16-8 on the year, earned his second All-Star game appearance, National League Rookie of the Year in 2013, a fantastic baseball player with a magnetic personality. And you talk about having your future in front of you. I mean, just last week, Fernandez had let it be known to everyone via social media that his girlfriend was pregnant. He was going to become a father. And the Marlins organization announced yesterday that Fernandez will be having a baby girl that he will never meet. Of course, the Marlins game against the Atlanta Braves was canceled on Sunday. The Marlins will return to the Diamond today against the New York Mets, and I can only imagine what kind of tribute they will have in store for Fernandez. So we got that news as well yesterday, and then as I'm sitting back watching my Dallas Cowboys take on the Chicago Bears, I was on Twitter and happened to be tweeting at the time of the game like I always do. And I saw something on Twitter that I had to do a double take. And at first I didn't know if it was true or not because it was someone saying that I've heard from a source that it may be true, and I didn't see the news start to roll in until about 5 or 10 minutes after that confirmed the death of the King, Arnold Palmer, a staple when you talk about the world of golf, folks. This death, a bit more celebratory because this is a man who lived a full life, 87 years old. You know, it's not like Hicks and Fernandez, both of whom were in their 20s. Talking about Arnold Palmer, who has left a lasting legacy in the world of sports and beyond it. 87 years old, that's a full life if you ask me, folks. And Arnold Palmer passing away, also sad news. Also sad news nonetheless, folks. And Arnold Palmer is a man who, you know, I always say there's levels of those who are celebrated in the world of sports for what they did within that sport. You know, you can call them all-stars or superstars or Hall of Famers, legends. But there's one word that even eclipses all of those. And that word for me is icon. And Arnold Palmer was just that, folks. When you think of Arnold Palmer, not only do you think of the the drink, right? I mean, how many sports figures have their own drink named after them, right? Lemonade and iced tea mix, you call it an Arnold Palmer, right? But Arnold Palmer is known to be, quite frankly, the most recognizable golfer next to the names of Tiger Woods and Jack Nicklaus. An icon. He has done so much. He did so much to grow the sport of golf, to ensure that the game was in good hands after he retired. And he's done so much to mentor those who have come after him, including names like Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth. I mean, this is a man who, no matter what his age, his love for the game of golf never faded, and he felt a responsibility to make sure that those that came after him knew how to represent the game of golf. So throughout this hour, we will be taking your calls. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We'll be taking your calls centered on those three lives. Of course, Jose Fernandez, Arnold Palmer, and one that hits directly home here to Michigan State University, Mylon Hicks. Please share your thoughts and memories, folks. Now, let's shift the mood. Let's try to shift the mood here. Michigan State football, folks, suffered its first loss of the year against Wisconsin on Saturday afternoon at home at Spartan Stadium. 30-6 was the final in that game. Here is our post-game report. It's been 4 years since Michigan State and Wisconsin have met, and I can hear Spartan fans everywhere now saying, we waited 4 years for this? Yes, a 24-point rout for the Badgers over the Spartans, and the last time Wisconsin actually beat multiple top 10 AP teams, you have to rewind the clock all the way back to 1962. So how do you go about putting the wheels back on the track after a game like this? That is certainly easier said than done.
Well, it's never as bad as you think it is, and it's never as good. I think that's the nature of things. You know, if you look out back out there, we hold on to the football, and all of a sudden we go down and score, it's 13-all. Maybe the game changes, but it sort of is what it is. I don't think that the game flip-flopped that drastically because of our abilities. I think we made mistakes.
We were coming here confident, and I don't think we were too confident by any means. But we were very confident in what we had done last week, and we made plays last week, and everybody went out and expected to do the same thing. We just, you know, never got the ball rolling consistently. I mean, we talked about it. We kind of dominated. We didn't dominate, but we moved the ball well between the 30s, and something would happen where we did a penalty or a turnover or something. So we did some good things, and statistically, it was probably a pretty close game, I would imagine.
I mean, it just goes to show you that it's anybody's game, really. So things happen. You like to win every game, but hey, nothing you can really do about it. You can't blame a finger on anybody. You can't, you know, blame one person. It's a team thing. You know, we win as a team, we lose as a team.
Myself, I know a couple of the other leaders. That's why, you know, they voted me captain. You know, when things go bad, things get down, you know, we got to rally.
You know, I don't think you abandon somebody when they're having a tough day. I didn't want to do that. You know, this hasn't become a quarterback race. That hasn't become the issue. You know, so we'll play through the pain here a little bit and see what happens.
All
You know, we always bounce back here. We always work, and the thing is, you get closer from a loss than you do a win, and that's the biggest thing that we have to do here is really come together and realize that there's a lot more work to be done. I mean, obviously, I feel that way for myself, and I'm sure everybody else feels that way.
It now becomes the most lopsided loss here at Spartan Stadium for the Spartans since 2009, when Michigan State lost to Penn State by 28 points. They will now hit the road next week to take on Indiana. Yes, again, folks, that was my post-game report from the Michigan State and Wisconsin matchup where the Badgers came out on top. 30-6, the final at Spartan Stadium on Saturday afternoon, and there are a lot of questions swirling around the Michigan State football program. Where do I start? I mean, wow. And again, I want to remind you all, if you want to check out the visual of that report, if you want to check out our highlights and visuals of the post-game interviews, simply visit WKAR.org right now. For Michigan State, this is its second loss in 23 home games. The fewest points, again, just six points for Michigan State. Fewest points scored since 2012 in a game. Wisconsin scored 13 points off turnovers. And, you know, you hear the dialogue. You heard the dialogue from Mark D'Antonio, Darian Hicks, Demetrius Cox, as well as quarterback Tyler O'Connor. And one of the main things that really stand out to me in that piece is Mark D'Antonio saying, hey, our goals are still in front of us. And again, I don't want to panic. I don't want to panic here. Okay, folks? It's still early on in the year. It's the first game of the Big Ten season. And Michigan State, if they went out, could very well still head to Indy and play in the Big Ten championship game. But this is I feel a lot of people are comparing this year to last year, what occurred last year with the loss to Nebraska. But here's the difference here, folks. The loss to Nebraska last season happened with four games remaining left in the season. You start your Big Ten year with a loss like this at home, you still got a full slate ahead of you to try and win out and book a ticket to Indy. Easier said than done, folks. It's going to be very tough. And we're talking about, you know, teams like Ohio State and Michigan still awaiting on the docket for MSU. Alex Hornibrook. Can I talk about Alex Hornibrook for a second? How good was he? I mean, we're talking about a redshirt freshman here. This is a freshman who looked so cool, confident, and collected while in the pocket. Hornibrook finished 16 of 26, 195 yards, one touchdown. Numbers that aren't eye-popping, okay? Those are average stats. But when you look at the film and look at his overall play, Hornibrook was unfazed, completely unfazed, okay? When pressure came at him, you know, he went down a few times. But for the most part, he stood tall in the pocket and delivered it to his receivers. He was actually 3 of 3 in the red zone. Perfect in the red zone. Fantastic on third down. And I truly believe that Wisconsin now has its quarterback for the next 3 to 4 years. Again, depending on how long Hornibrook wants to stay with this program. But he was fantastic. The Badgers converted, especially on third down here, folks. I mean, how many times did we see throughout that game the Badgers first and second down, you know, maybe a short run play for Corey Clement or a failed incomplete pass attempt on second down. On third down, though, the Badgers converted 7 of 16 times. Heck, just looking at the first three quarters alone, they were 5 of 7 when needing 8 or more yards for a first down. Wisconsin also converted a pair of 4th-and-1 plays on the first drive of the game. Head coach Paul Chris letting it be known that, hey, we are here to play. We are here to win. And, again, you know, you look at those 4th-and-1 plays on their first touchdown drive with the same fullback draw directly into a gap that a man by the name of Riley Buller routinely, a play that he routinely makes. So with that being said, I will say that Riley Buller, the leader of that Michigan State defense, Riley Buller, such a presence who just flies all over the field for that MSU defense, not having Riley Buller did hurt that Michigan State defense. But heck, with the way Michigan State played all around, I don't even know how big of a difference Buller would have made in this one, folks. Again, you're talking about a 30-6 win. I mean, that's a pretty convincing victory, right? And that secondary still has a lot of holes in it, giving up big plays down the field. And don't get me wrong, I don't want to take anything back, you know, away from Alex Hornibrook. Again, I'm praising the kid. He's absolutely fantastic. And he put some balls in pockets right on the money. Small windows that he delivered the football to. He was absolutely fantastic. But that secondary hasn't been great and hasn't, you know, and they weren't great on Saturday. Hasn't been great all year, to be honest with you. Granted, the year's still early, but still. They are not getting it done. Pass rush really wasn't one. Barely heard, if at all, any of I didn't hear Malik McDowell's name called much at all. And then you look offensively. Yes, the big theme throughout this entire week, and I'm pretty sure that Mark D'Antonio is going to get this question multiple times during his weekly press conference tomorrow morning. Do we have a quarterback controversy here in East Lansing? Is Tyler O'Connor the right guy? Well, when evaluating his play on Saturday, he was 18 of 38 and threw 3 interceptions, folks. 224 yards total. We saw Tyler underthrow guys, throw balls in the dirt, overthrow guys. I mean, throw balls in back of the receivers. It was bad. It was really bad for Tyler O'Connor, folks. And in the waning moments of that game, Tyler was on the sidelines, and we saw Brian Lewerke come in and relieve him of his duties. And Tyler O'Connor has not, let's be real here, let's keep it real. Tyler O'Connor has not been great from an accuracy standpoint. Tyler O'Connor has not been great this season so far. Simple as that, folks. Tyler is great when using his feet. When he's out of the pocket, he can deliver the football on the run. Heck, you can even argue that he's more accurate on the run than he is just standing in the pocket. So is he the guy moving forward? Or do we have a ramped up quarterback race? What do you think? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We've got two callers on the line right now before I proceed with my rant. let's go to line one right now. We've got Dave from Wyoming that wants to chime in. Dave, how you doing? And welcome to Current Sports.
Well, thanks. First of all, hey, Arnold Palmer had a heck of a run. And, you know, if you can live well, I thought an interesting fact I saw last night was in 2013, the three leading burners of the PGA were Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, and Arnold Palmer.
You got to be kidding me. Are you serious?
Million.
Wow.
And that same year of retired athletes, he was third behind Jordan David Beckham.
Unbelievable. I didn't know that.
So, I mean, and I heard a replay of an interview today. His biggest check he ever won in a golf tournament was $50,000.
My goodness.
So Arnie was diversified. Second quick thing about Mylon Hicks. A different set of circumstances, but I see it a lot of the same way with Mike Sadler, as wrong time, wrong place. The guy did everything right. He didn't go to some easy high school. He went to Renaissance, where you have to apply to go in. It's a college prep program. He decided to come to Michigan State, finish his degree, didn't get to the NFL, did get on a practice squad at Calgary, and he's where thousands of other Canadians are on weekend nights, but he gets shot.
Right.
And, you know, just awful luck. Now to the really bad, I mean, really unspeakable things we saw Saturday, is I graduated with Kirk Gibson, so I've been around a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I have never, it's been a long time since I've sat in Spartan Stadium and seen a team look so inept on offense And really, so average on defense, and probably the worst game I've seen since D'Antonio came to town. I think the closest one would be the 20-3 loss to Notre Dame a couple years back.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree with you. You know, I'm not going to blame the defense, but the defense was pretty average. They didn't ever really force that quarterback at all.
Right.
You know, he didn't. He never was really pressured, and he was. You know, and the DBs always seemed to give just enough room for him to have a pretty good throw. Well, with the exception of one in the second quarter that I saw, he hit his tight end with six Spartan hands around the guy, and the ball went through all of them to catch him. So that was a little bit of luck. But overall, Michigan State just did not, defensively, didn't put pressure on. Part of that is Wisconsin's line, and part of it is Michigan State just, you know, deciding to live with their defensive backs. Maybe they can't. Offensively, you know, I don't know why. I'm not a coach, but it seemed like they were getting beat on the one-on-ones on the offensive line because nothing was really working through the tackles, even though they were blitzing on a regular basis for that 3-5.
Mm-hmm.
You'd think that'd be open. O'Connor just doesn't have the field vision that we've seen with Hoyer or Cousins or Cook so far, and I don't know whether you can develop that with a fifth-year senior. I would hope that stuff would be there beforehand. And he had a lot of happy feet, and maybe they got to do everything roll out because, you know, you've been watching football for a while too. It's a monkey see, monkey do business for the other coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And if they see Michigan State having a problem with a blitz right now, you know, Brown over at Michigan and the guy at Ohio State,
they're going to do the same thing.
Next weekend in Indiana, they're not going to say, "Oh yeah, well, you know, he had a hard time with that, so we won't do that to make it more fair."
Right.
No,
right.
They're going to send the kitchen sink. I personally think you give him probably maybe 3-6 more quarters and then might have to have the dreaded talk because it's not like Maxwell where, well, we can live with it 1 year and see what happens. This is it for O'Connor.
I hear you. Exactly. He's a senior.
Thanks.
Dave, thank you so much. Great call. And you make a very good point when it comes to the pressure that Alex Hornibrook and Tyler O'Connor dealt with. I mean, on the side of Hornibrook, I mean, barely touched. And Michigan State has failed to have a great defensive line presence as far as putting pressure on the quarterback all year. I mean, if you look at DeShone Kizer, I always reference that second half when Notre Dame, again, because they were forced to, when they were out of the game and they had, in order to stay in it somehow, some way, DeShone Kizer had to throw the football down the field. When you look at the pass rush, it was pretty much non-existent. And, you know, we've seen that happen against Furman as well. Michigan State's pass rush is right now non-existent, folks, and it allowed Hornibrook to be very comfortable in the pocket, just like Kizer was. When it comes to O'Connor, on the contrary, Wisconsin did a great job with the pass rush. I mean, heck, Tyler O'Connor was sacked 4 times. Not to mention, I mean, how about little bro, J.J. Watt's little brother, T.J. Watt, who had 2.5 sacks on the day, 3.5 tackles for loss. I mean, he was absolutely fantastic. So that offensive line has to be better. It really does if Michigan State wants to have some success moving forward. Let's go to line 2 right now. We've got Todd from Lake Orion on. Todd, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. What's on your mind?
Obviously, a lot of losses in the sports world. A lot of people that lives changed. You know, you can't do a whole lot about that except try to learn from their examples, good choices and bad choices they made in life, and apply them to our own selves and try to be smarter, better people. But I listened to some of your interviews from the players, and, you know, they're tremendous athletes, scholars. I think they could have been summed up a lot easier and should have been like this, and it wouldn't have mattered who it was. It could have been, well, I got my ass kicked. The guy next to me got his ass kicked. The guy behind me got his ass kicked. As a football team, we got our ass kicked.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at some point, you either care enough to do something about it, or you say, well, hell, I'm here playing football.
I got a pretty good life. We win a lot of games. This is a beautiful day. The girls are pretty. I mean, I was there at the stadium, and I don't want to take anything away from Wisconsin because I think they are a very good football team. I guess the season will come out. But at some point, you got to decide. I mean, have you had enough of this, or is this just going to be what you're going to take all day? I mean, to play football at the University of Wisconsin, they just didn't grab 85 kids off a dairy farm, show them a football for the first time, and say, hey, do you guys want to go on a bus ride to East Lansing? I think it's a little more than that. And, you know, I watched the game, and, you know, we could name it numerous plays, and, of course, everybody's going to concentrate on O'Connor, and he certainly didn't have a great game. But if we're going to get out a pencil and paper and start writing down names of players who didn't play well, that's going to be a pretty long list. If you want to put his name in number one because it works for you and it's easier to blame the quarterback, sure, he gets a lot of credit when they win and he takes the heat when they lose, that's fine. But I don't know how anybody that was wearing green and white or on the coaching staff for that football walked off that field with a smile on their face because they saw something I didn't see. And, again, you know what? They've done a lot of things. These players are talented. The coaches have done a tremendous job as a whole. But if these guys think that, you know what, well, we're Big Ten champs and, you know, we show up and we play football and we get her done, well, you don't. You better want it. It better mean something to you. And sure, some people are going to point to Boa not playing or whatever, but that's fine. But at some point, it's your own personal pride and say, hey, you know what? It's not happening to me. I mean, I can't do nothing about the guy next to me, but I can do something about me. And I didn't see one guy on that football field that looked really mad about what was happening. Now, I'm sure afterwards they were, and I'm not saying every guy's got to go out there and flip over a water bucket and push a coach or whatever, but you can tell. There didn't seem to be – and if I'm wrong, you name a guy. And I'll give credit. The one guy that I thought played hard the entire game – who tried to make something happen even when it was over, was Donnie Corley. That kid was giving it to what he had. Unfortunately for us, he's a freshman and he's a wide receiver. But I didn't, again, tell me if I'm wrong. Did you see anybody that seemed really, really bummed out?
This
is our house. We win football games when we play here. And part of the reason we win them is because we work harder, we play harder, and we knock the other guy in his ass, and then we get up and do it again. I didn't see any of that. Not anybody all day long. We got beaten offense, defense, and let's not forget about our exquisite special teams. I'll give Geiger credit. He tied his all-time career-long make two field goals. How about the guy that decides for Michigan State, we've got a kicker who likes to kick the ball out of bounds? Well, a lot of teams like the ball on the 40-yard line. That's kind of nice. And the Lions can tell you about that. We got a punter inside his own 5-yard line. Well, I guess maybe I should try to catch the ball. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a talent issue. I think they can still win games. I hope like heck they get a chance to play Wisconsin again in Indianapolis. But I tell you what, these guys better figure out real quick. And they're all smart, I'd like to believe. Why don't you walk down the hall down to Tom Izzo and ask him what it's like. When you reach a certain point, you're everybody's big game.
Right.
You're the team they want to be. They want to be where you're at. And if you're not going to come with the same level of intensity and ready to play that the other guy does, it doesn't matter how talented you are. It doesn't matter how many games you won in the past. It doesn't matter how many stars are by your name out of high school. Wisconsin's kicked their ass in every sense of the game. And this football team better figure out what it wants to be, what it wants to do, and it better have started Sunday morning. I hope practice was not a lot of fun. I don't know what days they practice, what days they have off, what are easy, hard days.
Yesterday
should have been really hard.
Todd, thank you so much. Appreciate that. Todd brings up a lot of good points. A lot of points, of course, spoken with a lot of emotion when it comes to this team and how they showed up or didn't show up, I should say, on Saturday. And, you know, I noted this with Channel 6 sports reporter Alex Sims. As we were down on the field and we were switching sidelines to start the fourth quarter. And I just want to get a, you know, they don't let you shoot the sidelines, of course, because there's a lot going on the sidelines, a lot of plays being diagrammed, Isaac. And I just wanted to take a mental note as to what the mood and what the emotion was as I walked the sidelines. So I turn off the camera, and I proceed to walk right behind the Michigan State football bench. And this is what I heard. That's it. I heard silence. I didn't hear guys going off. I didn't hear coaches, Ream, and anybody. It sounded like Michigan State had given up to a degree. And I talked with Alex about it, and I just wanted to make sure I felt the same way. And I talked to Alex Sims about this. I also talked to Jack Berridge at Channel 10, who was on the field as well, shooting the game. And we noted that. I'm like, man, there's really – I didn't see any emotion from the Michigan State football team. And who knows? I mean, every team is different. You know, the biology of every team, what makes every team great is different. Some guys don't need to get real emotional to play well, while other guys do. And sometimes seeing that emotion is good. I mean, heck, just ask Tom Izzo. Tom Izzo loves to see emotion from his players and loves to get in the face of players because that's how he motivates guys. But I didn't see emotion from the Michigan State football team on Saturday, and I don't know how concerning that is to fans out there. Of course, Todd makes a point, and he's very concerned about that. At the end of the day, I think that what it comes down to in this game, I really thought that the Michigan State football team overlooked Wisconsin. I really think they did, Isaac. I thought that, you know, they're coming off this big win against Notre Dame under the lights on primetime television. They looked at Wisconsin and said, huh, we're favored in that game. We should be able to pull it out. We're at home. They got a freshman quarterback in Alex Hornibrook coming in. We got this. And there was an overall blanket of complacency that I think infected this team from very start, and they were playing from behind the entire game. How true that is, you never really know. It's all opinion-based, but that's what I saw from Saturday.
When I was walking the other sideline, the Wisconsin side of the field, I heard something very different. I heard one player shout out, and I made a mental note of this. I want to make sure that I remember to say this on there. Shout out, sometime in the third quarter, "This is boring." It was boring. He's absolutely right. What a great analysis of the game. It was boring. And I think that's because when you face adverse situations, there are two possible courses. First, you could get really ticked off. You could vow to do something to fix it. You could change it. You could hate the world and just work your butt off to try to make sure that you're never in this position ever again. You can also be sad about it. You can shed a tear like Odell Beckham Jr. did over the weekend. You can do whatever you want, and you can just look there, crestfallen, staring at the moon, wondering, how did this happen to you? Mm-hmm. And the second case definitely seemed to be what happened to MSU. I'm with you. There was the air of silence. There was nothing going on. There was no source of motivation, no lack of real passion for this team. But it was just a case where MSU, in my opinion, there are so many different words you can use to describe sports game. Deflated is the one that I would use. Deflated. And that's because this team was inflated beforehand. They were hyped coming off the Notre Dame win. They thought, maybe we can work the magic just right, like MSU did last year. And for me, this was the ultimate realization that, you know what? We are not as good as last year. Tyler O'Connor is not as good as Connor Cook. The defense needs some tweaks. And our offense, they're bereft of weapons. That was, for me, the message and the symbol of the game. Lack of talent and a realization, finally, that this is not the team of old.
When it comes down to what Michigan State must do in order to be successful as the year moves on. Again, I don't want anybody to jump off the bridge here. It's the very first game of the Big Ten season. They laid an egg against Wisconsin. Goals are still in front of this team. But at the same time, there are some glaring, again, I go back to what I said, there are glaring question marks here. And when it comes to Tyler O'Connor, what allowed O'Connor to have success against Notre Dame, I think this is a point that we haven't brought up yet, what allowed O'Connor to flourish, so to speak, against Notre Dame 2 weeks ago was that Michigan State had the run game really flowing. That run game was fantastic against Notre Dame. And it you know, Wisconsin did a great job against the run, and they created a lot of pass rush on Saturday. LJ Scott, Madre London, Gerald Holmes, I mean, those guys only put up, collectively as a team, 114 yards rushing. A stark contrast from what took place at Notre Dame. And as far as a comfort level, Tyler O'Connor has to have that safe haven of when it comes to the overall offense, he has to have that safe haven of knowing that, okay, If I'm not clicking with my receivers down the field, we at least have a rushing attack to lean back on. That did not happen on Saturday. And now I think you have a bit of a blueprint on how to beat Michigan State. I really think you do. And teams are foaming at the mouth. You better believe that. Again, they play Indiana next. Now, Indiana lost to Wake Forest. You know, Indiana had 9 penalties for 85 yards against Wake this past weekend. They allowed 17 points on 5 turnovers. The quarterback threw 5 interceptions. This should be a nice rebound game for Michigan State. But at the same time, we'll be looking at who comes out as the victor this weekend. We're going to be seeing if those particular areas, such as the defensive secondary, the pass rush, Tyler O'Connor, we're going to see if we see any room of improvement when it comes to those areas to really make an accurate assessment whether or not this team is getting better. Let's hit our first break. We only got 10 minutes left here in the show. It's been a jam-packed one, Phil, with a lot of talk on Michigan State football. Call in. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, we are taking your calls as we have, 8 minutes left here in the show. 517-355-WKAR. We've been talking about Michigan State falling to Wisconsin on Saturday afternoon at Spartan Stadium. First loss of the year as Michigan State opens Big Ten play with a whiff. Certainly not a bang. And a few other takeaways from the overall Big Ten football landscape. Iowa gets 7th straight road win over Rutgers. It was close, though. It was close, folks. It wasn't easy. 14-7, the final of that game. How about Nebraska? At 4-0, after opening Big Ten play with a win against Northwestern, Tommy Armstrong Jr. doing it both with his arm and his feet. He was 18 of 29 for 378 total yards. Minnesota, they topped Colorado State 31-24. And they have a fantastic Bonnie and Clyde. I don't even know. That's not the accurate assessment. I'll say Jordan Pippen, all right? Tandem when it comes to Brooks and Smith in the run game. Brooks and Smith, you have not seen those two on the ground. They are fantastic, folks. They actually combined for 184 yards, 3 touchdowns against Colorado State. And it is now the first 3-0 non-conference finish for Minnesota since 2013. And, again, the big question now, I mean, when you evaluate, you look at Iowa struggles. You know, again, they struggle to pull out a win over Rutgers. Wisconsin with the big win over Michigan State. Is Wisconsin the favorite in the West? Yes, without a doubt. I think they have one of the best defenses in the country. The run game is getting better with Corey Clement. And the quarterback, Alex Hornibrook, they may have something special there. They have a very tough schedule, though. One in which this weekend they head to Ann Arbor to play Jim Harbaugh and the Michigan Wolverines. Michigan dominated Penn State over the weekend, 326 rush yards for Michigan. They have scored at least 45 points in each of their wins, almost 7 yards per rush, and 6 touchdowns against Penn State. Davion Smith and Chris Evans just completely doing work. And how about Wilton Spate? I mean, we all know that Jim Harbaugh is a quarterback guru, and Wilton Spate is getting better. We saw this past weekend, Wilton Spate is operating comfortably inside and outside of the pocket, and it's very accurate with his arm. Penn State is not healthy, though, so, again, take it with a pinch of salt. Michigan is tied also with a handful of other schools for most sacks this season at 17, and I've said all year so far that Michigan has one of the best defenses in the country as well. We're taking your calls continuously throughout this hour. Again, 5 minutes left here, 517-355-WKAR. Let's go to line one. We've got Ray from Indiana calling. Ray, how you doing?
Go Badgers, beat the boys.
But I must say, Ray,
I'm telling you, I'm scared to death the Badgers are going to get killed this weekend. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm worried about your team. State, you guys got to get up to the line. If you look at Michigan and Ohio State, I've been watching them all year. They're both getting up to the line of scrimmage real quick. getting off play after play. They're putting the defense on the defense. So you got to do the same thing. You got to get your offense. I don't know if you have the personnel like Michigan, Ohio State, but you're going to have to do it quick before you play the bullies, or it's going to be a long game, that game.
Who you telling, Ray? And, you know, when you evaluate this game against Wisconsin and Michigan again, a battle of now two top 10 teams, it's going to be a fun game. And I think that at the end of the day, we're really going to see just how good both of these quarterbacks are, and Wilton Spade and Alex Hornibrook, because I believe both of them are going to be pressured throughout that game. But at the same time, I mean, Michigan, we have not seen this team tested just yet. Even though they're a top five team in the country, according to both the coaches poll and the Associated Press poll, they haven't played anyone just yet.
Michigan had a turnover this year? I don't think they even had a turnover early.
Yeah, they've been great. They have been absolutely fantastic again. And you look at the run game, and that when it came to that Penn State game over the weekend, Ray, that run attack for Michigan really stood out. Again, you look at Davion Smith and Chris Evans. My goodness, how great were they? Again, almost 7 yards
rush. You know the key to that game is Wisconsin's got to stop the running attack for Michigan.
They do.
Stop the running attack, force him to throw ball deep down the field.
Who do you think wins, Ray? Quick prediction.
Well, I'm hoping the Badgers, but I don't know. I think Wisconsin's got a good enough defense, but I don't know if their offense is going to be good enough to score enough points to beat Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But if I've been watching Michigan, Ohio State all year, and they're driving that ball. They're coming out of the huddle without even getting to the huddle. They're playing play after play. I don't know if you have the personnel, but you better turn your offense around in a hurry, or it's going to be a long day when you play the bullies.
I hear you. Ray, thank you so much.
All right, buddy.
Quick comment here from our Facebook page. This one comes from Tyler Clifford concerning Michigan State, of course, losing to Wisconsin. This loss is a chance to be last year's Nebraska game. I'm looking forward to D'Antonio making the necessary adjustments and the team finishing strong. We might get one more loss, though. And, Ty, I hear you, man. It's going to be tough. Again, the difference between last year and this year, with Nebraska, you had just 4 games left. With this year, you have, again, we're just now getting to the crux of the conference year, and the first conference game they play is a 30-6 loss against Wisconsin. A long season, folks. A long, long season. Also, I want to note that Jim Harbaugh held his weekly presser this morning. I got a chance to watch it in its entirety. And this is worth noting. Cornerback Jeremy Clark, he tore his ACL versus Penn State. So his year is finito. Isaac, thoughts on the Wolverines this past weekend?
Yeah, they looked as impressive as you'd expect, as good as you'd expect. It's all about that rush game, like you said. But this is a balanced team, and I tend to disagree with you on just one claim, and that's that they haven't been tested this year. I think before the end of the season,
Colorado,
we'll see that Colorado is a good
no.
team. I really believe Colorado is going through a renaissance. So I think the boys, as Ray would deem them, are for real, actually, and I think that they've proven it already.
We'll see. We'll see if you're right, Isaac. But again, this is Colorado, dude. You know, what
that's
got
my
me,
hot take.
When looking at Michigan's football year again, everybody's every Big Ten school is moving to the 9 conference games and the 1 Power 5 team that you've got to play against, right? And Colorado was Michigan's. I'm not buying that. That was a 45-28 route. So, all right, folks. Well, we didn't even get a chance to talk about the Honolulu Blue and the Detroit Lions. We will talk about the Detroit Lions starting the year 1-2 now with the loss on the road to the Green Bay Packers out in Lambeau Field on tomorrow's Current Sports. Until then, we bid you all adieu. Thanks so much to all of you for tuning in to this edition of Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care and be easy, people.